afternoon, good morning, good evening, whatever time of the day it is you're listening to this podcast. Welcome to Philadelphia Eagles Talk with Jeff. And this is not going to be a therapy session. You know, some of the tough losses during the season, I called my follow-up podcast the, quote, therapy session to kind of talk things through a difficult, tough loss. And, you know, as difficult as it is for, you know, when your season comes to an end and, you know, your season's over with, it's always tough. But for me to have a true therapy session, it's got to be a game where, for me anyway, where your team was expected to win and, or I guess just a little bit few more factors into the game than what we had in this one. Truth be told, I didn't expect the Eagles to win this game. And there might be some fans out there listening to the program who thought that the Eagles had a really good chance of winning this game. I was not one of them. I don't know if you picked up on that during my most recent podcast, including the one, you know, with the preview with Matt, which was the last podcast. I don't think either one of us were all that optimistic. We did talk about some of the keys where if the Eagles were going to be successful and win this game, what needed to happen. My prediction was actually wrong, even though I really thought Tampa Bay was going to win this game. I did say that if Tampa had the game, if Tampa had the ball last, that they would win. Well, the Eagles actually had the ball last, and Tampa still won. So, I mean, I was wrong about that, but I had the right team. You know, I didn't actually say Tampa would win the game on my preview for the game, but really that's what I was saying, if you read between the lines. So, if you're just tuning, well, not that you're just tuning in, it's not a live podcast, but the Eagles lose to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers 31-15 in a game that wasn't even that close. I mean, let's face it, guys and girls. This game was not close. Tampa Bay dominated this game right from the beginning. And, you know, the Eagles got a couple of really garbage time touchdowns when the game was over with. And that was it. And I got a lot to talk about as far as the game's concerned, but you know, like I said, leading off the program here, this is not going to be, to me, it's not a therapy session type loss. I didn't put any boo meters on. This team doesn't deserve to get booed. They made the playoffs this year, which a lot of people didn't think they were going to make, including myself. I saw them a little bit less than a 500 team this season. I mean, there's a couple players that deserve to get booed, no question about it, in this game, and we'll certainly get to that. But overall, you know, I'm not going to bash this team. You would have liked to see them put up a better game, no doubt. I mean, it was embarrassing, actually, at points in this game to be an Eagles fan, quite honestly. You know, for, you know, all football fans across the league tune into the playoff games, you know, when their teams are out or playing, just wanting to see some exciting competitive football. And the Eagles weren't that today. They went out there and played horribly. Didn't seem like they were prepared for the game, coaching-wise. They didn't execute well. And when you're playing the defending champions, if you're not on top of your game, you're not executing the plays, and you're not, you know, calling the right plays, then it's a recipe for disaster. And that's what we saw today as the Eagles fall 31-15 and their 2021 season is now over. You know, at this, when the game was 17-0, and actually about four, I think 14-0, I was pretty much saying the game was over with. When they went up 14-0, I said that the Eagles don't score in the next, the next drive, not necessarily a touchdown, but at least points. I said it was over with to myself. And ultimately it was. I didn't have any faith. And once they scored another, you know, field goal and they went up 17-0, the game was over with. I mean, the Eagles showed during the first half they didn't have any answers for anything. And I just knew that even if they fought better in the second half, I mean, they have been a second-half team most of the year this year. So I kind of had a feeling the Eagles might play better in the second half, and they definitely did. But it was too late.
And I also knew Tampa Bay was, you know, Tom Brady in Tampa Bay was not going to take the pedal off the metal and not going to score any more points. I knew they would score more points, and they did. And, you know, so that was it. It was over with once it was 14-0. I was basically in my head, knew that the game was over with already. So it was not a good effort by the Eagles. You know, it's really unfortunate in that respect, because I did think, while I didn't expect the Eagles to win this game, I thought it would be a competitive game. That I did think it would be close. Close meaning within inside of the spread for the game, which was 7.5 points. I thought this game would be inside of that, you know, pretty close game. And, you know, you heard Matt and I say that we both agreed, and this is where the game got off right off to a bad start, right up from the beginning. Both of us said in our pregame show, which is episode 45, you want to go back and take a listen to it. We both said that if we were the coach, we would take the ball if we won a toss. Because we didn't want to give the ball to Brady right off the bat, have him march down the field and score a touchdown, and already be trailing after one drive before we even touched the field with our offense, 7-0. We figured we'd take the ball and first and hopefully score. Well, the Eagles did win the toss and decided to defer. And I understand why you do that, because most of the time, as I mentioned on my pregame show, I do the same thing. I'd rather win the toss and defer, but not with this team and not against this quarterback, not against Tom Brady. I didn't want to give Brady the ball first and have him march down the field and score a touchdown, because I didn't have any confidence that Gannon would be able to stop Tom Brady. They already played him once this year, and he owned the defense. So, and my, you know, Matt said the same thing. He, you know, he was on the same page with me with that. But again, the Eagles won the toss, so they got that part and decided to defer. I thought that was a bad move by Sirianni. Now, who knows? The way that this offense has been sputtering for the last, even against bad teams, which we've also noted in our pregame, you know, it wouldn't have mattered anyway. They could have got the ball, won a toss, right, taking the ball, and then went 3-and-out, and then gave Brady the ball, and he went down and scored a touchdown. So that probably would have happened, you know. Knowing how this game unfolded today, that's probably what would have happened. So I don't think it would have mattered at the end of the day, really. But I would have still taken the ball anyway. So, you know, there's a lot of – there's definitely many more down arrows than plus arrows. Than positive arrows, I guess I should say, for this game, as you could probably imagine. Let's start with Jalen Hurts. As you all know, if you've been listening to this program, and first of all, thank you for tuning in. As always, I'm really appreciative of you for listening to the podcast and coming back to listen to Philadelphia Eagles Talk with Jeff, and I'll have more on that at the end of the program as far as what we're going to be doing now that the season's over with. But thank you for tuning in. I really appreciate it. So let's start with Hurts. What I was saying was, as you know, if you've been listening to this podcast, and we went through the whole year, for those of you who have been with me from the beginning, first of all, thank you. Secondly, you know, from when we started this podcast before the draft, and during the draft and through the preseason and through the season, you know that I have not been sold on Jalen Hurts the entire year. I've been very consistent. I've noted when he's played well, and I've noted when he hasn't played well. And I've never once on this program said that this is our quarterback for the future. And the reasons for that, I've said many times, were on display in spades in this game. I mean, everything that I've criticized Hurts about was for all to see, if you wanted to see a highlight reel, I guess, or a lowlight reel of what I've been saying about my concerns about Hurts. It was defined in this game, and that is he cannot throw down the field accurately. He doesn't want to throw down the field accurately. You know, there's a lot of times in this game, if you got, you know, if those of you watched the network broadcast, where Troy Aikman was saying, Well, geez, you know, I mean, once again, Smith and the wide receivers are just singled up on the outside, but Hurts is yet to throw to him. And I'm thinking to myself, and I texted my brother, and I said, this because Hurts can't make those throws, or he's hesitant to make those throws. And then when we see him try to make those throws, he can't make those throws. And it's been like that the whole season. You know, the only throws they can really make downfield are when he's on the run, he runs out of the pocket, resets himself sometimes, and throws it downfield on a broken play. Those are the throws that he can make. But actually set plays where he's going to throw to a guy singled up on anybody, a design play where, you know, Sirianni must call, you know, calls it in and says, you know, let's go to Smith singled up on the left there. If he gets single coverage, throw to him. He can't make any of those throws. Can't make any throws over the middle. It's been like that the entire season. He overthrows guys constantly, underthrows them constantly. And it happened again and again and again today. And that's the problem. And you cannot have that is not starting quarterback material there. It's just absolutely not. In order to be a starting NFL quarterback, you need to make those throws. And Jalen Hurts cannot make those throws, period. And I'm not meaning to make this a Jalen Hurts bash postgame, but it's time to be critical about Hurts. And I have been, but it's time to be more critical. So now we saw him on the big stage here in a playoff game, and he came up way short. There was guys open. Right early in the game, they had a play where Quez Watkins broke open. He was wide open over the middle. Wide open. Might have had a touchdown. That's how wide open he was. Single coverage on him, and he was breaking over to the right. Hurts, instead of seeing that play, was too panicky and to get out of the pocket again. And then I think he threw an incomplete pass to the left or something like that. I don't remember. But right from the beginning of the game, he got startled in the pocket, left it too soon. He sees these phantom rushes. And he did that numerous times in this game again, where he had a strong pocket around him. And, you know, as a quarterback, you got to have the clock going off in your head. But you also got to have the awareness. And he had the clock going off where he knew, okay, I've had the ball for about 3 seconds. I got to start running out of the pocket now, automatically. Not even having the awareness or the peripheral vision to really sense or see if there's anyone around him. Maybe he's got a few more seconds. And he definitely did. On a few plays. But instead he leaves the pocket, which is he didn't have no reason to, scrambles out of it, and then throws an incomplete pass or an interception or just, you know, a terrible, terrible play. So Hurts was bad. Bottom line, you know, again, against every good team this year, Hurts padded his stats. And this is gonna sound like a Hurts passing session. I get it. But there's a lot of things to talk about here because now we're talking about next year. Right, this year's over with, and we got to figure out, do we have a quarterback here to go forward with? And, you know, a lot of the criticism, like I said, that I've had of Hurts this year, all were for everyone to see in today's game. And this is stuff that I've pointed out the whole season. Leaving the pocket too soon, throwing inaccurate down the field. It was all there. It was all there today. And so, you know, the question is now even a bigger question mark. Is Hurts the quarterback of the future? What I'd like you all to do is, whatever platform you're listening to this podcast on, let me know what your thoughts are. Send me a comment. There's usually a little comment field on the podcast where you're able to send me a comment. And I'm hoping that that's happening because I know I've been asking for comments and questions and whatever throughout the course of the year. And if you are sending them out there, I have not gotten them. So I don't know if what I'm looking at through my actual platform that I use for the shows, if those are translated to me or if I have to go to like the actual sites themselves to see it. I would imagine I would see them, but I don't know. I know I've been asking for questions and comments and maybe I just haven't gotten them yet. I know this is a brand new podcast this year that I started and maybe nobody sent me anything. I know the station. I know the podcast has grown quite a bit, especially over the last several weeks. So I would assume that I must be getting some kind of commentary, but try it anyway, please. You know, send me a comment, send me a question, and really I'm throwing a question out to you. Do you think Jalen Hurts is the quarterback of the future? And we're going to have a lot more to talk about him in future podcasts here now that we're in the off season mode. So we'll definitely get to that, but I had to tell you that, you know, everything that I've been talking about all year with Hurts, and there's always positives. It's not like I'm not trying to say he's a horrible quarterback and he can't play, but there's a lot of things that you need to be able to do as a starting quarterback in this league to be successful. And Hurts cannot do a couple of them that are really important. So, you know, and today I even questioned his poise for the first time, really. I know it's the playoffs and it's his first game and it's on the road, so there's a lot of pressure on him. But for the first time this year, I really noticed him being unpoised and where he was definitely skittish. You know, I haven't used that word all year. I just been using things like leaving the pocket early, because that's basically what he's done all season. But today, he was skittish. He had the happy feet that you don't want to see in the quarterback. He had the, you know, the panicky type of play back there in the pocket. And that's scary, because that's regression, okay? Now, I'm going to give him a break because it's the playoffs, but that's regression. If this was a regular season game, that's a step backwards. So I'm going to give him a little bit of a break as far as that's concerned. I'm not going to say that he's regressing. I'm going to give him a break because it was a playoff game and he was probably a little more nervous than normal. But the poise and the leadership and all those things that I've said have been strong points for Hurts this year were not even present today at all. So he was rattled. I've said all many times this year, he doesn't get rattled, right? Today he was rattled. He was rattled in this game. So anyway, I spent a lot of time with Hurts. There's going to be a lot more to talk about with him. The second guy on the list, and this is not in any certain order, I just basically wrote down, was Jalen Reagor again. And I'm telling you now, and I, you know, if my recent podcast, if it hasn't gotten through yet to you as far as how I feel about Reagor, today, just I don't want to see him ever again in a Philadelphia Eagles uniform. I am so done with Jalen Reagor. He is just a complete and utter bust, and he's done. I mean, I don't know how the Eagles can bring him back next year. It is time right now to move on and cut Jalen Reagor. I don't want to ever see him in a Philadelphia Eagles uniform again. I don't even need to talk about the game. If you saw the game today, you know exactly why. You know, again, the only thing he's been able to do for this team in a positive manner, I guess if you want to call it a positive way, is return punts, and that is just be able to return them somewhat. But he's one of the worst in the league, so I can't even really give him that. But that's been basically what his usage has been this year, because they barely ever throw to him because he can't ever get open. When they hand him the ball on these swing routes or these you know, these little bootlegs or whatever, he never gets more than 2 yards. He can never break anything down the field. He's supposed to be an explosive wide receiver. He doesn't explode anything. Whenever he has the ball in his hands, no matter what it is, it's a 2 yard pass or a 2 yard run. And when punt returns, he gets a 2 yard punt return. And he is just horrible in every facet of the game. And on top of it, he's got a piss poor attitude. You know, that one punt return earlier in this game, before he really screwed up the other one, when he let the ball bounce and went back about another 15 yards, and he just watched it. And you could tell that either his teammates or the coaches were yelling at him to either pick it up or probably saying, "What the heck you doing?" or whatever. He's like screaming at the sidelines. You could see him like barking at the sidelines. Like, he's just got a bad attitude. And then, of course, later in the game, when if the Eagles had any chance of coming back, you know, the defense was really, you know, trying to keep this team in the game. They got to stop. They punt it. And then, of course, Reagor, who I've said all along, again, I've been waiting for him to fumble all year. And he has botched a couple during regular season, but I think he always recovered them. Well, leave it to the playoff game where Rager's, you know, butterfingers come up and he muffs a punt Tampa Bay gets the ball, and of course the Tampa Bay score a touchdown and basically put the game out of reach at that point. Rager's just, he is just an absolute disgrace. He hurts the team more than he helps the team. And whenever you have a player that hurts the team more than you help the team, the guy does not belong on the field. And I'm saying he doesn't even belong on his team anymore. I am done with Jalen Rager. Goodbye. All right, my next down arrow is on Miles Sanders. And this probably shock most of you because you know how much of a huge fan I am on Sanders. Now, is it unfair to give him an arrow down when he was coming back from injury and he, you know, came back and he's playing obviously with a broken hand? Maybe. My issue with Sanders today, maybe I shouldn't even have I probably shouldn't have a down arrow on him. Let's give him an even arrow. I got a few players out here with even arrow, so I'm not going to put a down arrow on him. I thought he was just trying to make too much out of nothing rather than hitting holes. And I know there's been some criticism of him this year. But again, you know what? I definitely don't want to have a thumbs down on him. I'll keep it even. He's definitely not a thumbs up. Yeah, I think he had a couple good runs, but for the most part, you know, he was the Tampa Bay Buccaneers today. They were going to stop the run, and they sold out against the run quite a bit with their defense, which is going to get to my criticisms of Sirianni. Tampa was not going to let the Eagles run on them today. That was obvious. There was a lot of run blitzes. They were securing the outside as well because they probably knew that was a vulnerability. They have really good linebackers on that team. And Sanders just really didn't have a lot of room to maneuver. So, but he didn't have a good game either. So, you know, I think that's why I was going to, you know, initially I had him as a down. I'm not going to put him as a down. I'll just say that he was just had an even game. I think he obviously tries. I mean, he always tries. Sometimes he might try too hard to make too much more than he really needs to do. The next sort of even player for me was Goddard. He would have been a plus player if he actually didn't drop that pass earlier in the game. When one of the few plays that Hurts made all game that he deserves a lot of credit for. He escaped from the pocket, rolled out to the left, which he typically doesn't do, or when he does, it's almost automatically means incomplete pass. He rolled over to the left and actually found Goddard downfield. And Goddard, if he caught the ball, had probably about a 35, 40-yard gain. And with his size, he might have been able to score a touchdown on that play because he's tough to bring down. But Goddard missed it. I mean, it went right through his hands. And he did, you know, in the playoffs, especially how much we're paying him. I mean, Goddard is one of the – I think the Eagles have made him one of the top three tight ends in the league as far as paying salary-wise. And you can't drop that pass. And Kelsey doesn't drop those passes. Kittle doesn't drop those passes. All right? Those guys don't drop those type of passes. And if you want to be paid like them, if you want to be considered a top three tight end, you can't drop those passes. And Goddard dropped a absolute just horrible, horrible pass. Right? I mean, the pass was great. Pass was right to him. Hurts put it right on him, and he dropped it. Now, he made up for it later in the game. I guess you could say he made up for it, but at least he played a lot better after that. You know, he ended up having a pretty decent game overall, which is why I have him even for the game. Devontae Smith, once they finally figured out, hey, let's throw it to the wide receiver. I mean, he had a good game, but, you know, the Eagles just, it hurts. It's either Sirianni or Hurts just decided never to throw to him. And I don't know if that was by scheme or if that was Hurts' decision. Or bad decision-making, you know, I don't know. But when Smith did, you know, play, and especially that two-point conversion he caught, that was a great, one amazing catch that he made in that play. Also, Hurts did a good job making that throw and avoiding, giving himself time to even make that throw. Smith played pretty well overall, but I would have liked to see them go to Smith during the first half. I don't think he had a single target, which is just inexcusable. What the heck is he out there for, you know? Sirianni definitely dropped down arrow. The team was not ready to play. His offensive play calling was horrible, was just terrible. Every other word you want to use, he called a horrible game. I know they probably wanted to run the ball more than he did, but then once that was taken away from you and you were down by 14 and then 17 – and you know you got to get away from the run a little bit, then you have to be able to scheme your guys open. You got to be able to scheme and call plays, not these screen passes short screen passes, especially when the defense, they were in like a cover three and they were playing 8 or 9 yards off the outside wide receivers. They were going to give up those plays all day, and they never threw out there. They kept doing short, quick little screen passes and just horrible. I mean, Sirianni had a bad game. Did I say bad enough? Sometimes in a row there. Gannon, most of the time, you probably expect me to have a thumbs down for him. I have an even for Gannon. And the reason is he had a bad start to the game. Once again, you know, didn't pressure Brady. Now, the thing is with Brady, it's you're definitely risky when you blitz him. He's that good, as we all know. So, but you still got to take away those plays. I mean, Evans, how many times was he open just, you know, 5 or 6 yards down the field or whenever he needed a first down or just to get a nice second or third down and short? I mean, Evans was open the whole game on the side, you know, but, and so again, because he plays and calls too passive of a defense. And he was doing that, especially in the first half. In the second half, they actually started the defense, I don't know if they were running stunts, or I don't know, they were sending some linebackers occasionally, but the defense was getting to Brady. I mean, he sacked him 4 times. And I think most of those sacks were in the second half. They might have a couple late in the second quarter. But they were getting to Brady. They definitely did enough to get him so he knew he, you know, didn't have all day to pass the ball. They sacked him 4 times, like I said. Gannon did make some adjustments. But I'm like, where was this defense in the first quarter? I must have texted that about 4 times. Where was this defense in the first quarter? So, you know, the game could have been a lot worse, though. They did have a lot of key stops after the Eagles' offense just kept fizzling every time they had the ball and giving the ball right back to Tampa. The Eagles did make some key stops. Like I said, got some sacks and some pressure on Brady. So, I mean, that game could have been a lot. Tampa didn't even play that well. You know, I have this note on here. It was one of the last points I was going to make. I might as well make it now. They benefited from Tampa being a little out of sync. You know, Brady was playing with some wideouts that he hasn't played that much with this year. And, you know, you could tell how frustrated he was getting because they were kind of shortening up their routes and timing was off a little bit. So, I mean, Tampa didn't even play that good of a game. They got a break today, the Eagles did, without Fournette playing. You know, during the pregame with Matt, we talked about Fournette. I mean, that guy and how important he is to that team. There was no Fournette today. Now, you know, the Eagles, we also expected Sweat to play, but there was no Sweat. And we found out today that he actually had a very serious situation, illness, that he actually had to be – he was in the hospital on Tuesday night. And the doctors tried to do everything they could to kind of get him ready for today, but they just weren't able to. Fortunately, Josh is okay, but he was not able to suit up today. So that was a big loss as far as the pass rush. But suddenly, out of nowhere, Kerrigan was reborn. I mean, where has this Kerrigan been all year? I mean, he was pushing guys back into Brady, and he was looking 10 times faster than he's looked all season. I'm like, there's the Kerrigan that we picked up from Washington. I mean, he had a great game filling in for Josh Sweat. I just laughed because I'm like, this guy did absolutely nothing. I know he was missed a few games too, but when he played, and he played some, you know, decent amount of games, he did absolutely nothing. I mean, zero. Didn't even have a pressure, I don't think, of a quarterback this year that I can remember. Maybe he did, but I can't remember one. I mean, and all of a sudden today, he looked like Kerrigan of the prime Redskin days. So, I mean, he played great. I probably should have a plus sign next to him. I don't have him on my list here, but definitely Ryan Kerrigan had a fantastic game. So, definitely plus with him. And then, of course, you know, the first punt of the game, Sipas throws, you know, punts another 27-yarder, which made it 3 consecutive punts of like 25 to 29 yards. His last 2 punts in the Dallas game were both 20-yard punts, if I remember correctly. And then his first punt in this game went like 29 yards. He botched another one. So it's like 3 consecutive punts. Now, he punted okay the rest of the game, but I'm like, what the heck? And, of course, that set up another touchdown. I believe they scored on that. Maybe they got a hold. I forget now. They may have held on that. I think they may have. I don't remember now, but they might have got a field goal. I forget now. I really do forget, but bottom line is it set the Eagles up with horrible their defense up with horrible field position against Brady again. Quez Watkins played very well. He had a couple of really nice catches and another two that he could have made. I talked about the one when he was wide open earlier in the game that Hurts didn't see him. And then he totally smoked his guy. I think this was in the third quarter, early in the third quarter. I don't remember exactly when, so don't quote me on that. But I think you all remember. It was one play that way downfield, and Hurts saw him this time finally. It went deep, but overthrew him by like 15 yards. And you know, show me that Hurts does have the arm strength. I mean, that throw did show me that he's got the arm strength. He doesn't just always throw it hard like that, though. It's like there's a lot of throws that he needs to make like that with just more confidence and authority. He's definitely got the arm strength. And I heard Merrill Reese say that this week when I watched some bit that he was on. And he said that Jalen Hurts has the arm strength to make any NFL throw. And I was kind of like wincing when I heard Merrill say that, like, I don't know, Merrill, you know, maybe your eyes are starting to go in your old age. But that throw that he made to Watkins definitely shows me that he's got the arm strength. But he overthrew him. I mean, even though he was way down the field, which was, he was probably 40 yards down the field or close to that, and he threw it 55 yards, but way over went Watkins' head. And that was a touchdown. Watkins had had probably about seven steps on the guy. That was an easy bomb touchdown. And he wasn't even close. The throw was sailed way over Watkins' head. And those are throws you got to make. You know, and I've always said this, you know, these the ones that are McNabb haters. And I know McNabb had issues with either the slant, excuse me, either the quick slants or sometimes, you know, the throws in the backfield, he'd often just throw too hard and then at their ankles. I know that he did that. But McNabb was an awesome downfield thrower. He would never have missed that pass today. McNabb was deadly accurate throwing down the field. Those of you who remember Donovan. And he would not miss those. So you can make fun of him all when he threw warm burners on quick slants or little flat screens. But McNabb was dead on anything downfield. And Hurts is dead off on those throws. Watkins. Okay, so we talked about Watkins. Kelsey with a down arrow. Who would have thought that I would give him a down arrow? But you got to give him credit, too. I mean, I'm not going to be sit there and bash Kelsey. I mean, I love Jason Kelsey. But he had two critical holds in this game. One of them was kind of a phantom hold. I thought it was a cheap call. And then there was another one that was just a bad hold. I mean, totally pulled the guy to the ground. Now, if he didn't, he probably would have got hurt sacked, so I kind of get it. But, he got two holes. And it was tough on Kelsey. But, you know, Tampa Bay line, D-liner, had two big freaking guys. They probably almost double the size of Kelsey. You know, there's the guy, Ndamukong Suh, and then the other guy there, the big Samoan. I forget his name. But he's a beast. And that's hard. Those type of guys are obviously tough for the undersized Kelsey to handle. So maybe I shouldn't. I mean, it's tough to give him a down, but he definitely gets a down arrow. But, you know, he's the least of the Eagles' problems. Just, you know, he had a rough game today. And then Williams. Is it Williams? I got to get this guy's name right because I'm telling you, the guy looks like one heck of a player. The defensive tackle, again, 93. Isn't that Williams? So I'm only looking it up because I don't want to get it wrong. You know what I mean? I want to say his name is Williams. Bear with me while I check here. I hate doing this, but I don't want to get it wrong. And as you know, I don't edit. You get it live here. Yeah, Milton Williams. Got it right. Just want to make sure I got it right. That's all. So, yeah, Milton Williams. I mean, this guy looks good. And you know, we're going to get to talking about this offseason and how the season went and kind of retroing back and taking a look back at the season and diving in a little bit deeper. We'll do that on future podcasts. So make sure you come back for those podcasts. But you know, the Eagles draft this year looks really, really, really solid. It looks like we got four hits in this year's draft with Devontae Smith, with Dickerson, with Gainwell, and with Williams, at least four hits. Those guys all look like they're going to be future contributors on this team. So hats off to Howie and his you know, scouting staff, because anytime you can get four players in one draft that are going to be future starters, contributors, then that's a very, very, very good draft. You'll take that every single time. So that looks like what we have out of this year's draft. So that's something to build on. The Eagles needed to get younger, and they needed to find talent and young talent, and they definitely did in this last draft, and let's hope that they can carry that into this offseason when they have three first-round picks. So there's a lot of and a lot of other picks. They have a really loaded draft, so let's hope they keep hitting on these guys. We talked about Tampa not even playing that well in this game. I mean, this game could have been way out of – I mean, even though it was bad enough when it was like 30 to nothing, it could have been 45, 47 to nothing easily in this game if Brady had not been off with his receivers early on. So, you know, a couple touchy points, a little preview about some of my off-season discussion and what my thinking is as far as, you know, moving forward now that the season's over with. I think the Eagles, and we'll talk about this in more detail, but right now my thinking is this. I think the Eagles need to find a quarterback. I am not, and again, this is why I've been pumping the brakes on Hurts all season. I don't think Hurts is a future NFL quarterback. I think he's got a place in the league. I think he can be a good backup quarterback and a spot starter quarterback. I do not think he is a starting NFL quarterback. Now, can he did improve this year. So that's why, as I say this, there's still a little bit of I'm not guaranteeing it. Okay? I'm just telling you that's where I'm leaning right now. That's my thoughts. But he did take some steps forward this year. He did get better in some areas. So that tells me that there could be some more improvement, and maybe he hasn't reached the ceiling yet. Although me, I personally think he's getting very close. I don't think he's like even in college. And I've talked about this before. He was never known as an accurate passer, and so in that respect, he has not improved. He's improved in other things, like he's gotten a little bit better in the pocket. Although today he was again he regressed in that area in this game. But I said I was going to give him a little bit of a break because you know probably was a little bit more nervous because of the stakes of this game and being in his first year in the playoffs. I'm willing to give him a little bit of a break on that, a little bit, tiny, tiny, tiny. But it's a huge area of concern of mine, and it has been all year, about him leaving the pocket too early, not him hanging in there and making the throws down the field. His throws down the field are horrible, and they've been horrible all season, and they were horrible again today. And that's why I think he's not an NFL quarterback. You have to be able to make those throws if you want to be a starter in this league. So I don't think he's the answer going forward. If he had to ask me right now, put the money down right now, is Jalen Hurts a future starter in the NFL? I'm saying no. And maybe that shocks some of you, and if there's some Hurts fans out there, I like Jalen Hurts. I'm not trying to bash the guy. I'm really not. But you have to admit that there's some major flaws in his game right now that have to concern you, and they certainly do me. And if you're a big fan of him and you're willing to overlook some of those things, well, that's on you. That's not on me. I'm going to call it objectively as I see it. And while there's a lot of things I like about Hurts, that those are key things, though. You got to improve on those. And if you don't, then you're destined to be a backup quarterback in this league for the rest of your career. And if it's an Eagle, then we need to find another quarterback. So here's the thing, though. There's really not any, even though the Eagles have three picks in the draft next year, it's really a weak quarterback field coming out. So I don't think this is the year to do it in the draft. However, and as I've mentioned, and maybe I haven't mentioned on the program yet, I'm not sure if I have, but maybe I did. But I can tell you this. My thoughts are, and they have been like this, for the Eagles to potentially lure like one of the potential big guys who might be available, whether it's Russell Wilson or Aaron Rodgers. If this is, in fact, Aaron Rodgers' last year in Green Bay or Russell Wilson's in Seattle, I said this, and I don't know if I said this on my podcast. I may have. I don't remember. But I know I've said this. This has been my thought processes. The only way you're going to get those guys this offseason is if the Eagles finished at least 500 or better. And they did that. And I wasn't sure, like I said at the beginning of the season, that they would. So that's why I didn't think that either a Russell Wilson or an Aaron Rodgers would come to Philadelphia, because they're not going to come to Philly and go to a rebuilding team. The only teams that those two guys are going to go to are a team that's ready to win. And the fact that not only did the Eagles finish over 500, but made the playoffs, they are going to be viewed by Aaron Rodgers and Russell Wilson as a team that they would consider going to. Absolutely. If they finish with five wins this year and then make the playoffs again, they would not even be – Aaron Rodgers and Russell Wilson wouldn't even consider the Eagles. But the Eagles proved that they're right on the doorstep. They made the playoffs even. So it's possible. And what I would say is this. I think if Aaron Rodgers or Russell Wilson are available or interested in Eagles, I think the Eagles got to go get them. That's what I'm telling you right now. Now, will my thoughts change? Will the scenarios change? Probably. Will my thoughts change? I don't know. Because that's what I think right now, and I don't know how they could really change before, you know, the draft or this coming free agency. But to me, I don't see, again, Hurts is the starting quarterback material in this league right now. And I think the Eagles are very close to being a competitive team, like a contending team, rather. I think the pieces are there, especially this year after you get three first-round picks. So just in general, because I don't want to, you know, we're going to have future podcasts to talk about this in more detail, and I want to keep the show inside of 45 minutes. I think that the Eagles this offseason should use those three first-round picks on rebuilding this defense. This is what I would do if I was a GM. If I was Howie, I would use all three picks on defense. You know, get some more defensive end, okay, or tackle. Get somebody on the line. Get one or two linebackers, okay, or at least one linebacker and one safety or corner. I would use all three of those on defense in any of those positions I just mentioned, okay? And then I would, again, if Russell Wilson – or Rodgers is out there. The Eagles have the money to bring him in. As you remember, they had to play this season with $33 to $35 million of wasted cap space. So they couldn't even fully utilize their salary cap this season because $33+ million of it was paying for Carson Wentz, who wasn't even playing here. That is no longer the case next year. They get all of that back. Plus whatever, you know, the salary cap increases and whatever they're under the cap anyway. So the Eagles will have the money to bring in Russell Wilson or Aaron Rodgers if they want to, if they decide to go that route, which I think they should if either one of them are available, okay? Because then you rebuild the defense with three first-round picks. You got an offense who's basically ready to go. They just need a quarterback who can make throws. And the other thing I would do is bring in a veteran wide receiver. So some other veteran wide receiver to play opposite of Smith, right? And I like Quez in the slot. And, of course, Jalen Rader, see you later. Don't let the door hit you in the ass. I want him gone, as I've already said. But I think Watkins would be a nice slot. And you have still a Greg Ward here too. But bring in another veteran wide receiver. Bring in somebody like Tyler Boyd, I think would be like a perfect fit for a number two here. Somebody like those lines, a veteran wide receiver, you know, Mike Williams of the Chargers, if he's let loose. Somebody like that, that you could bring in here and play opposite of Smith. That's what I would do. So, and I think the Eagles are instant contenders if they do those things. Draft three defensive players with your three first-round picks and then build your other roster with the other remaining picks in the draft. But those three first-rounders, all on defense. And the offense is pretty much ready to go. Still set. Just get bring in a veteran wide receiver with your free agent money. And if okay, Russell Wilson or Aaron Rodgers is available, you go after those guys. Think about what type of a team you have going into next year if you do those things. I'll talk about that more in depth later on. But for now, listen, it's been a long year. It's been an up and down year for the Eagles. They did make the playoffs. They unfortunately didn't give us much of a game today to really be excited about. But the bottom line is this team trajectory is on the up, right? They improved over last year, certainly. Sirianni, I've got some question marks still with him, of course. And same with Gannon, definitely. But they're also first-year coaches, too. So we got to keep that in mind. They had to go through a learning curve also this year. And I think overall, I like them both. I think if between up and down, I think they're both up. Gannon, much more closer to being down and then Sirianni, but both of them, even though they've had choppy seasons, you know, if you consider the fact they're both rookie coaches in terms of their positions, Sirianni as coach and Gannon as defensive coordinator, you know, I think overall they did a pretty good job, and they, you know, obviously have a lot of work to do between now and next year. So anyway, season's over with. As the Eagles lose again today, 31-15 to the defending Super Bowl champions. Last I checked, Dallas was losing. I don't know what the score is now. Maybe I'll take a quick peek. It was they were down 16-7.5. I'll take a quick peek at it before I let you go. I know that when you listen to this podcast, you know, this game will be long over with. Actually, it's 23-7 now, 49ers. So, hey, if there's any silver lining, if the Eagles are going to go out, wouldn't it be nice if Dallas is right behind us? Because they're actually a team that was supposed to win, and they were supposed to advance. Not like the Eagles, who are not really supposed to win this game today. I wish they played a little better, but, you know, it is what it is, as they say. All right, well, listen, thank you all again. I plan on making another we're probably going to go to just one podcast per week, but I don't know. I might still keep it with two and just give my general thoughts. I might, now that the Eagles season's over, maybe I'll talk a little bit about the NFL playoffs as we move forward. I know next weekend I will be away for like 4 days, but I don't have to worry about a post game now to do. But I will touch base. So just stay tuned. Stay, you know, make sure you follow the program. All right. I'm going to really emphasize that right now because I don't want you to miss any future episodes because now they're going to be a little more sporadic and spread out. So whenever I do post one up, I'd like you to be notified so that you can make sure you don't miss it. So again, whatever platform you're listening on, by the way, I'm also now on Apple. So iTunes and Apple, you can now search for Philadelphia Eagles Talk with Jeff and be able to find the program, on that channel. So finally I got on Apple. It took forever. I'm on Amazon, Apple, Google, and, some of these other, smaller formats, but pretty much you can do a search in any, whatever program you're listening to, and hopefully you'll be able to find me. You know, the big news was I'm now on Apple. So, make sure you follow, Philadelphia Eagles Talk with Jeff and whatever platform that you are using. So again, so you don't, you know, make sure you don't miss any future episodes. Thank you all again for tuning in. Once again, the Eagles lose today, 31-15. Our season's over. Lots to like for the season. Some concerns on the season. We'll talk about that more on future episodes. Until then, keep your heads up, Eagles Nation. Fly, Eagles, fly. Go Birds. Bleed green. And we'll catch you next time. Take care.